Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to the program this morning and hope you'll tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. It is our hope and our prayer that you will come and be with us at our meeting times of worship and Bible study. We'll give you those times at the end of our work program this morning, and we cordially invite you to any or all those services. We also want to invite you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's holy word. Please give it a look. This time we want to continue our discussion of the book of Hebrews, and this morning we're going to begin by reading the first 8 verses of Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptism, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain and often comes up on it and bears herbs useful for those whom it has cultivated receives blessings from God. And if briars, thorns, and briars, it is rejected and near to be cursed, whose end is to be burned. Now, we're probably going to begin discussion of this text this morning and complete it next week. I want to call this discussion On to Perfection. By the context, I believe he is telling them to go on in their study to move beyond the infancy stage that we talked about last week, because they have not applied themselves to gaining of spiritual knowledge, because they could not rightly divide the word of God, because their exercises had not been discerned to know between good and evil. Become perfect by applying themselves to the task that is set before them. Elementary principles need to be moved past. By now, they are at the stage of their Christian life that they need to move beyond the infancies and the elementary principles, and they need to get to more meaty subjects that should be understood perfectly and correctly. If they understood these correctly, they can move on to perfection, which is why I believe is this spiritual maturity that is in Christ. The key to understanding this part of the text is understanding that they had not fulfilled this requirement. They had not moved beyond spiritual infancy. They had not grown, spiritually speaking, because they had not applied themselves to a study of God's word. I want you to notice some of the things that are mentioned in our text. Number one, it says repentance from dead works. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of conduct. The sinner has a new view of Christ. He understands the terribleness of sin, and his responsibility to God is to live above sin. If we are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above and not the things on the earth. We live a different life. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. In Acts chapter 3, in talking after the day of Pentecost, in preaching of Peter in Acts chapter 3 and 19, he says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so at the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it gives us a definition of true repentance, of what true repentance should look like. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 9, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow has led you to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. You see, there is a godly sorrow and there is a worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow is the only type of sorrow that can lead you truly to repentance, to have remorse that you have transgressed God's will, to understand that you have done damage to your relationship to God by your willful neglect of His instruction. That godly sorrow will lead you to repentance. When he comes to God, a change is made. That is seen in what the person does with the works of his life. We have to repent of our dead works. The dead works are the works that are contrary to God, those things that God classifies as sin. And to make sure that we're not participating in sinful things, we need to know his will. We need to know what's in God's word in order to make sure that we don't go back to that which we walked away from. When men obey the gospel, they say no to sin. And so they should not go back to sin. They should leave sin, and they should put it to death, as we read in Colossians chapter 5 and verse 5 through 10. We mortify it. We put it to death. And so repentance from dead works, that's an elementary principle. That's one of the things that we do when we obey the gospel. We repent and we turn away from sin. And then he talks about faith through God. Faith towards God. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Earlier, later in the book of Hebrews, we're going to see a definition of faith is given in chapter number 11 and verse number 1. And we'll read that for our sake this morning. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And verse 6 adds, but who without faith it is impossible to please God. You know, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so, yes, we have to have faith. Faith is absolutely essential if we're going to have the proper relationship with Christ. When he comes to God, a change is made, and that is seen in how he lives. The first step must be belief in God. You must believe in God, you must believe in his word, and you must believe in his plans that he has given us in order that we might be redeemed and we could be considered faithful and could have, be in fellowship with God by our faithful obedience. In Hebrews 2 and verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angel for the suffering of the death, crowned with glory and honor, that he might, by the grace of God, might take death for every man. So what we see is God had a plan. This fact, believe, will exhibit itself through a changed life. If a man truly has faith in God, it will be demonstrated by a changed life. His life will be different. He will try to refrain from sinning. He will not go back to sin. He will alienate himself from sin. And he will strive to live godly in Christ Jesus. How does he do that? He does that by knowing what the will of God is, and then by performing it in his life. Read James chapter 2 and verse 14 through 26 that talks about faith and works work together. We have faith in God, but it's demonstrated by our work. Faith without works is dead, being alone. We have to have faith in God, and that faith is something that is demonstrable by our obedience to the word of God. When one is not obedient to God's word, then he cannot be considered faithful. To be considered faithful, you have to be obedient. To be obedient, you've got to know what the will of God is. Do you know the will of God? How can you repent from dead works? How can you continue to repent if you don't know what the truth is? If you don't know how you to live your life and conduct your life in such a way that you will present it as a living sacrifice to God. You see, that's our duty. That's our responsibility. We have to do that. And so we repent from dead works and we have faith towards God. These are things that are absolutely essential if we're going to have a proper relationship with God. But ladies and gentlemen, this is an elementary principle. This is something that we should have moved on after a significant period of time. We should have grown to move beyond the subject of repentance and faith. Faith and repentance are something that we did when we came to Christ, and it's something that we continue to demonstrate by our lives before Him, by our obedient faith. Remember, we read last week that He's the author of eternal salvation to all that obey Him. How can you obey Him if you don't know what His will is? If you don't move on to perfection? And perfection here means completeness. You have to continue to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 15, listen to a statement that the Apostle Peter made in his first letter when he said in verse 15 of the third chapter, that, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you of reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Excuse me. You cannot give a reason of your hope if you don't know what that hope is. If you don't know what is contained in that hope. If you don't understand what is necessary in order to produce hope and to give you real hope in this world of sin and sorrow, you've got to have knowledge. And you've got to be able to rightly divide the word of God, 1 Timothy 2:15, in order to demonstrate that you have that kind of faith that you can help others see the need to have in their lives. And so these first two things that are mentioned in our reading this morning is that we need to have repentance from dead works and faith towards God. That's the foundation of our faith. That's the foundation of our relationship with God. And we should have those things down, and we should have a very good understanding and a working knowledge of how faith and repentance work hand in hand. How we repent from dead works, continue to grow, continue to mature, continue to do the things that God would have us to do in order to demonstrate spiritual growth. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 says we are to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do that if you don't have a good knowledge of God's word and faith towards God. Faith is produced by a belief in the things that God says. Let's read John chapter 20 and look at the last two verses in verse 30 and 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Son of God, and believing you might have life in his name. Why were these things written in the scriptures? That we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that we might believe he is God, he is deity, that he's the Son of God, that he lived in as a man upon the earth, and believing that we might have life in his name. How do we gain that life? By obedient faith. Read Romans chapter 16, verse number 16 and 17. We become an obedient believer. Romans 6, 16 and 17. We are a servant of righteousness. Do you have that type of faith? Have you repented from dead works? Have you faith towards God? If you do not, then you are still in the elementary and you're in the principles that you have not grown properly. Apply the word of God in your life. That's how we grow.